Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop!
Hey, Iconic Army.
Laura, hey.
We are so excited to talk to you all about Jungkook's album, Golden.
Oh, yeah.
So when the album came out at like 11 p.m. our time, of course, we stayed up for it. Have to listen to it. Have to immediately watch the music video for Standing Next to You. Mm-hmm. We love
the music
video. We got
the time and date right.
We did. We got it right this time. Yeah. No layover mishaps like we did with Taeyong's album. So we got to watch it and we were like texting the entire time that we were watching the music video. And then when we were also listening to the album, we listened through it together for the first time, and that was really great and really fun.
I love Standing Next to You. First time watching through, I will say initial impression of the song was not overwhelmed, but like it's just so grand and theatrical and very, I don't want to say over the top, but you know, it is out there.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave me the same impression that I first had when I first watched Idol, where I was almost like overstimulated, like, holy shit.
I get that.
Because there's so much going on. You hear the gorgeous vocal runs. You're like, oh my God, he looks fire. His outfit, he looks so sexy.
Incredible.
The dancing is so powerful and intense, and the shots, the camera work is all fantastic too. And the gold lighting, it was just like a lot all at once.
Yeah.
I think is my initial impression was like, holy shit, what just happened?
Yeah. For me, all of that, yes. But also I was like, oh, this is golden. I was like, okay, this is Jungkook's album. That grand, the gold lighting really stood out to me. And it's like, it made me really excited to dive into the rest of the album and to see the rest of the new songs that we hadn't heard yet, along with the ones that we already love, like Seven. So we were texting so much about the album, and upon our first listen through, we had some mixed feelings. Some songs we absolutely loved from the beginning, and some that, like, honestly, they took some time to grow on us. But we really love where we're at with the album right now. We've had the whole weekend to think about it and to listen to it
really
before
absorb it,
recording this episode. Yeah, we've really absorbed it, and we are so excited to get into it with y'all today.
Yeah.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Hurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right, today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we are going to talk about all of the songs on Golden. We're going to go from start to finish. We'll talk about all of the production, the producers, songwriters. We'll get into the vibe and kind of the style of the songs. And then, of course, we'll dive into some lyric analysis as well.
Yeah, totally. But before we get into it, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes, but any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you all for being here and for listening.
Yes, thank you so much. So let's get into this album, Golden by Jungkook. And first, we want to just give a little bit of context to the creation of this album, just to preface the songs a bit. So we did come across a press release about the song that kind of, or about the album, that described the overall purpose of what the album is doing. So this is a quote from a Rolling Stone article that's linked in the document. It's by Emily Zemler. And it says that the press release notes that through the order of the track, Jungkook expresses the flow of emotions that follow the changes in relationships. The first half of the album introduces the songs with lighthearted melodies portraying someone falling in love, whereas the latter half lays out songs that feel heavier, dealing with emotions following a breakup. So this is really insightful for what that overall context of the album is. And we really felt that as we listened through and kind of disseminated on the album as well.
Yeah, it definitely follows that chorus of like falling in love, that romantic great feelings you feel in a relationship, and then going and falling through like a breakup.
Totally.
And coping after and coping, a breakup.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. We also found out from that article that he's going to perform in his first solo concert songs from this album and other songs that he has in the set list on November 20th.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So So we have that to look forward to. He also talked about it on Sutruta on his recent Sutruta episode. So he was excited about that. He has a whole album that he and Yoongi was talking to him about how he can really pick and choose which songs he wants to perform and how he wants to do it. So I think he was excited in his preparation for it also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, definitely looking forward to that. He's also going to be on Jimmy Fallon tonight when we're recording, so we're probably going to follow up on the performances later on in another episode, probably the next episode.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So Jungkook was also interviewed by GQ magazine, and in this article they asked, "You once said in an interview with your BTS bandmate J-Hope that when it came to your future as an artist, you wanted to make music to span genres. Is Golden about you trying out different personas?" And his response was, "I just wanted to try diverse genres and styles and work on my own sound. As of now, that is still my goal. I want to work on different stories. On the other hand, when the moment comes that when I do want to share my story, I do think it'll be a song with honest lyrics that I want to share with my fans." So I think this really gives us some good perspective on just like the songs and kind of his intention with this album, like what he really was, what his goal was and what he wanted to focus on, which we feel is his strong vocal ability. He really wanted to try different sounds, which we for sure see in all of these songs. We've got ballads, we've got pop hits, we've got funky, groovy, kind of Michael Jackson sounding songs, like big band. There's definitely a lot of genres, and he really suits all of it. You know, I feel like he really does dip into a lot of different sounds in this album. And so I think he executed that well. And I appreciate, you know, him talking about the lyrics and him not really being any credited for any of the production or the songwriting. Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't really a goal right now for him. And that he said that maybe down the road he wants to share his story, but that's not what's happening really with Golden, lyrically at least. Yeah.
I mean, I want to go back to what you said about him and working on his own sound, like his answer in that, because just being a major goal to develop, like, who am I as Jungkook as an artist? You know, like, what is my musical style and sound? Like, I feel like with Taeyang, like, he didn't have that question about himself. He knew his musical style and sound that he, like we talked about with Layover, he probably wanted to make that album for years and years and years. He knew that he wanted to do something jazzy. And Jungkook, with this album, he really is just trying to explore and find his sound of what he wants to do. And that's like a huge task, you know, just by itself. And on top of that, he's, you know, committed to doing an album fully in English too. It would be a lot to also be like, now produce everything, now write all the lyrics, you know, that'd be a lot. And so I do appreciate the insight and that he does intend to write lyrics of his own solo work later on, once he really knows what he wants to say. Like, I appreciate taking your time to also know what you want to say and how you want to share it.
And he's just not there right now. So this song, just kind of talking through it now, it seems like this album is an exploration for him of finding his sound.
Another question in this GQ article says, "You've experienced such monumental success with BTS. What does success look like for you as a solo artist?" And he replied, "I don't think success is determined by other people's perspectives. Just experiencing self-satisfaction, being happy, experiencing difficulties, and being frustrated. I think in all of those moments, success is always mixed in with it. For me, instead of chasing success, it's enough to be satisfied." And I really love this, especially with the follow-up question, which was, "Are you satisfied with this album?" And he said, "I am satisfied. I do have some things I wish I had done, but I did my best. You could think of it like that." And this really made me think of what he spoke about on Sutruta with Yoongi also with this album, about how it was interesting, the editing too. It kind of cut away to Yoongi and to Taeyang, who had joined randomly at the time. Yeah, of course he did, Taehyung forever. But it seemed like like when Jungkook was speaking about his satisfaction of the album, or if he would have done anything differently, that he maybe got a bit choked up, maybe a bit emotional, mm-hmm. and they cut away for just to be kind to him. But maybe he does feel regretful that he wasn't sure what to say. That's how it really came across to me. And yeah. he wasn't sure what lyrics he would want to do, especially wanting to do an album fully in English and reach that Western market even more. Like, it would be even more challenging to come up with those lyrics.
Yeah,
like
to express yourself honestly
in a completely different language.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so I do think that he probably does feel guilty about that and feels remiss that that's not something that he could bring with this album. But I think at the same time, he feels incredibly satisfied with the album because he put in a ton of hard work in so many other areas to really make it incredible.
Yeah. I think that's where I have the appreciation for him and this album and what he's done is that, he might be feeling a little dissatisfied that he didn't work on the lyrics and he didn't help with the production and creation of the songs. But like in every other category of what makes a song great, he excelled. He exceeded all expectations in terms of vocal ability and his delivery in the songs. But now even with some of the performances, the choreography and his stage presence and charisma mm-hmm. is just off the charts. Like, he is putting in so much effort and hard work. And so I just feel like if he had to kind of not work on the lyrics and production as much, at least all of that hard work is going towards the sound, the vocals.
And the passion towards that.
Yeah, the recording that he did. It sounds like the recording process, he worked so diligently to make sure it sounded perfect.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He really made all of these songs his own. Like, that's what we're going to really feel and see as we start to work through this album is that, no, he didn't write these or produce these, but he made them his own. And Jungkook himself comes through. It's not the writers and producers that are coming through here in these songs. You can tell these are his songs and that, like, he really picked these out. He curated and, in a way, he produced the album just by knowing, I want that song. That's the sound I want. That's the song I want. And just being so confident and determined in those choices that he made.
And really immersing himself into the music. Even though someone else wrote it, he really put himself into the song. He inserted himself and fully absorbed the meaning of the song and just was able to provide such an excellent delivery.
Yeah, I feel that with these songs for sure.
I do too.
Yeah, and that, I mean, to your point earlier too, as English as a second language for him, like to even really internalize the songs in that way, to be able to convey the passion and the emotion that he does in these songs is really incredible to be singing in a completely different language than what you're totally used to.
Right.
So yeah, like major kudos to Jungkook. And I will say that like we like really struggled at first with the disappointment of him not writing or producing on any of these songs.
When the other members, at least with their solo albums, what we've seen is they've had more of a hand in the actual making of the music.
But for all of these reasons that we discuss, it's really very understandable that why he didn't and why he chose to put his attention elsewhere in the album. And I think that it doesn't take away from the success of the album.
No, because
ultimately,
it's still making of the music, right? I felt like even after I said that, I was like, he still was involved in the making of the music. He's crucial. He's the essential element of it.
He is the voice.
Right.
And I think it's huge. Just watching Suchita and talking about him picking out the songs or how Andrew Watt just pitched Standing Next to You after he had recorded Seven. And he was like, immediately, I love this song. This is so me. And it is so him. And how he went home, learned it that night and recorded it the next fucking morning. That one, I mean, like
the diligence, the dedication,
the passion, the dedication, the hard work and the talent just to be able to pull that off.
So talented.
And also just proves like how much he loves this music.
Yeah. No one else could sing Standing Next to You.
No one else could sing.
Please. It. The song was for him.
It's so for him. Yeah. So I really feel like this album is so Jungkook. I'm feeling it's very authentically him, regardless of like how much of a role he had in the lyrics, you know?
All right, well, let's go ahead and get into all of the track lists here. So for Golden, it starts off with 3D featuring Jack Harlow. So for producers and songwriters on this song, we have Michael Tucker, David Stewart, Jack Harlow, and Blood Pop. So we're not really going to talk about this song in this episode. If you want to hear our thoughts and just kind of our dive into the lyrics for 3D, you can check out episode 225, Champagne Confetti, and we cover all things 3D in that. We will say we wish that they had included the alternate version on this album as well. It's not here, which I find very interesting. We had talked about We See Seven that has both the original version and the clean version with Lotto. So we're just kind of curious why the alternate version wasn't included on Golden, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, we would appreciate it. We would love it.
We would love it.
But it is not here. So yeah. You can still listen to it in the single version.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the second song of the album, Closer to You, and this is featuring Major Lazer. Major Lazer is a Caribbean or Jamaican-American DJ trio. They've had many, many major hits, but they brought a lot of the tropical Caribbean Jamaican influence to this song.
And you hear it, yeah.
And you really hear it. I mean, I think that's like a major tropical vibe. Other writers and producers were Gregory Aldehine, Jordan Douglas, Curtis Wells, Tyshane Thompson, Emmerich Boxel, Jameson Bacon, Thomas Wesley Pence, DJ Tate James, Diplo, LeClaire, and Maystick. I'm sure that three of those people are Major Lazer.
Yeah, I think 100%. So.
Yeah. Anyways, so they, all of these people came together to bring the super tropical vibe, very breezy with like a deep bass line, mm-hmm. You know, carries you through the whole time. Enjoyable listen there. Electronic. They have this like electronic sound that's going on in the back that kind of sporadically plays throughout too. It gives a little bit of interest to the song, right? Yeah,
you'll just hear it throughout. Yeah,
right.
It adds even more of that tropical element too. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
to me, it's very like where I go mentally is I want to be in a swimsuit at night on a beach at a club,
you know,
like dark club on the beach, vibing.
Yeah,
that's
warm,
where
sweaty bodies,
takes me.
Dancing, mm-hmm. vibing, totally.
Yeah,
yeah.
Warm outside with a little bit of a breeze. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. Yeah, and Jungkook's vocals, they're just so breathy and light and airy. He has a real nice timbre and tone, even with those like deeper vocals that he has. It has such a nice tone to it. There's a switch up that happens in the second verse. I know, Kayla, you really like that part of the song.
Mm-hmm. I do. I think it's really great because it gives more of a build to the song, mm-hmm. that the chill tropical vibe didn't have as much. But when he switches up like kind of his rhythm, mm-hmm. in the second verse, I really enjoy it. I think it's great.
Yeah, this song does have a consistency in terms of the rhythm.
Yeah.
At the bridge, we really enjoy his vocal delivery because it has a little bit more of a punch to it, because when he sings this part, it's very rhythmic and to the beat, and it's just like if his words could be dancing is what it feels like.
Yes. You know? Oh my God.
Yeah. It really rolls off the tongue. And so I just love that delivery on his part. Like, I feel like I haven't really heard him get so rhythmic with his vocals like
ever.
That.
And I feel like I can visualize him dancing along with it at the same time. Uh-huh. Like, I'm imagining the choreo. I'm imagining mm-hmm. the performance in Seoul. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, Jungkook.
Yeah.
He totally, like, I love his delivery in that bridge
there. It sounds like his voice is really truly an instrument there.
Which is like, to me, I think that's like top tier vocal musician of what they try to do is like see how many different ways they can utilize their mm-hmm. voice, and mm-hmm. that's totally what Jungkook is doing here.
Oh, and just lastly, with that breathy kind of light voice, airy voice that he has, there is some kind of sexy Temptation sound to this song with that. Like, it feels very like, ooh, like I see you across the room. Like, come to me. Like, very flirty, kind of seductive in a way.
Totally. And I feel like that perfectly leads us into talking about the lyrics a little bit, mm-hmm. because I feel like that's really what this song is about. Yeah. It's like tempting each other, you know, trying to make eyes across the room and maybe meet in the middle and then you dance and then you fall in love, whatever.
Yeah.
This song is really about becoming deeply infatuated with someone. There's a very much deep desire to be around this person. There's a very strong attraction. Like, this song is all about like that pure physical attraction, uh-huh. and just the need to be as close as possible to this person. Yeah. closer. Definitely. They feel it in the air, you yes. know. They just feel pulled to this person. And yeah, a lot of really sexy like symbolism with the lyrics, like talking about silk and, you know, mm-hmm. like just things that make you think sensual vibes.
Yeah. One of the lyrics that I really like is in the second verse when he says, "Take you like my last breath," like that real like desperation to take mm-hmm. a deep inhale. Like he needs to like breathe them in.
Right. Oh,
like that's how close they want to be. That's how passionate he's feeling in this
totally.
Moment.
Totally. Yeah.
Seeing her in this silk dress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
he's just
seductive.
So infatuated. Right. Yeah. Very seductive. I love the lyrics. I feel like there's not too much more to them, but mm-hmm. I do like them for what they are.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next is 7 featuring Lotto, and this is the explicit version that comes at the beginning of this album here. We had talked about this song already at length. Definitely go check out episode 218 where it's titled 7 Days a Week. We talk about lyrics, production, songwriters, all that there. So after 7 is Standing Next to You. So for producers and songwriters for this song, we have Andrew Watt, Henry Walter, Ollie Tomposi, John Bellion, and Circuit. And so these are some familiar names like Andrew Watt and Henry Walter both have heavily worked on All of Golden. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of songs that they've worked on.
And we see some Circuit too in the past.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we've seen Circuit and John Bellion too. So we definitely see a lot of these producers and songwriters. But Standing Next to You is like the hit track that came out with the release of Golden, because I mean, when 7 and 3D were released, like especially 7, were like, damn, like I can't believe like that didn't get released as like the hit track
of the album.
Of the album,
right.
Right? Because it's so catchy, it's so good.
Right.
But then you hear Standing Next to You and you see just how grand, and like you were saying, like Standing Next to You really embodies Golden
mm-hmm.
with its sound, its production, its grandness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So for production and vibe, it's very 80s, very MJ. We got a lot of Michael Jackson kind of influence here. Mm-hmm. It sounds very MJ. Like we're saying, it's extravagant, it's grand, it is golden. I feel like even some of that golden symbolism with like the strong brass instruments.
Totally.
That are
it's
in
so
the song.
Intentional.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The brass. Oh, it's loud. It's theatrical.
Look at me.
It is very look at me.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's excellence. Truthfully.
Can we excellence. Praise it enough? I don't yeah. think we can.
No, I don't think
like,
we can.
Like really.
The drums are also banging, man. Like the drums are going off.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's also some synths in there. After what I love to just kind of add to the dimension of the song is like, yes, we have this like big band brass like breaks where it's really hitting hard and then it'll drop off and then it goes to this 70s, 80s funky guitar.
Yeah.
This funky bass and
oh,
guitar
yeah.
that
it's
you're like
chunky. Boom, 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 boom. Ooh, it's so
yeah.
good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. So fucking good. Yeah. I like, there is nothing else that the production could be giving that it isn't already giving. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Every element of it, the build of the song.
The groove, the funk, the vocal runs.
Yeah.
It's just,
It's everything.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic.
It is golden. It is excellent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Really, I love it as a title track of the song. Mm-hmm. I love that from Suchita found out that like when he got it, when he had 7, he had recorded both of these songs with Andrew Watt mm-hmm. and he had not made the decision on which was going to be the title, which is like the pre-release single or whatever. But like after really recording the song, he knew it mm-hmm. had to be this song.
It had to be.
And what
I'm
a great choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Taste.
Also here I'm thinking like Jungkook is trying to like find out what's his solo music sound, and I feel like him and Andrew Watt make a great fucking team.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
7 and Standing Next to You,
you're so
like
right.
really really incredible songs, like mm-hmm. where it feels like Jungkook and his vocals are on point but the production is up to his level.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's such an incredible talented artist that the mm-hmm. production has to be able to support that and can't like take away from what he can mm-hmm. be and his ability
right.
and man, these two songs mm-hmm. with Andrew Watt, incredible.
Hype America, you hear that?
Yeah, come on, Hype America. Scooter Braun, are you listening? Anyways, so Yeah, I think this song is very hype. It's very feel good. It's like super just like hopeful of like, there's not a doubt in my mind that you're going to fall in love with me. We're going to mm-hmm. be together. And it feels like you're just like strutting down the town with your friends, mm-hmm. like hella confident, very great confident, outfit, yeah. out in the town.
Yeah. Yeah. No bad feelings.
No bad feelings. Mm-hmm. Just not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
I just like, his vocal ability is insane. First listen through of this song, I was floored. Mm-hmm. Like, he showcased every single element of what he can do with his voice in the song. Yeah. And I think that was his goal.
Yep.
He has runs and trills all over the place. He goes into falsetto. At the same time, he has like powerhouse belting. I feel like he's showing his full vocal range at the same time. And like, I mean, I just like to give a specific moment. Verse two, like the vocals of the sun and the moon riff. The sun and the moon.
Oh
my God.
It just really kind of catches you off guard.
Yes.
First time listening through, and it just stands, like you were saying, his vocals are just being showcased. And yeah, like, of course the song is grand and fantastic, but like those vocal runs, the belting, the vocal belting that he does, you're just like, oh my God. Like, I think everyone is floored listening. Yeah.
No one could listen to that song and not like that song. Like, it doesn't matter if you're ARMY or not. Like, you would be insanely impressed by the vocals alone. Yeah, and on like, top of that, it's this incredible production too.
Yeah
like,
even if you don't like the song, just hearing the vocals, you have to be like, well, damn.
Yeah,
you
know? Right,
like, I think anyone would be stopped in their tracks, be like, shit.
I feel like even if you hated BTS, yeah. and you heard those vocals, mm-hmm. you'd be like, well, I gotta give it to them.
Yeah,
you know,
right, exactly.
Like, for real,
like, undeniably phenomenal vocals.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Completely.
So lyrically for this song, it's really showing a lot of pride and confidence in your love. And what really stood out with this song is that there seems to be like little pieces of lyrics that seem very reminiscent of kind of the 70s, 80s time frame, mm-hmm. or also a little bit of just BTS reference. So
yeah.
like, he ends up saying survive in it, which makes me think of I Will Survive, mm-hmm. which goes to that kind of 70s, 80s kind of style. The mention of DNA makes us think of BTS's DNA.
Immediately.
Of course, of course. Yeah. He also talks about Afterglow, which makes
it's
us think
it's like a callback
of,
to Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is definitely a callback to Seven. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he says funk and slow in the lyrics, too, which I think is just the song itself is very mm-hmm. funky mm-hmm. With some of the bass line breaks.
Also, just as you're saying that, it makes me think of Dynamite, like funk and soul.
Ooh,
you know?
Yeah.
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 I did feel like the lyrics really felt like familiar in a mm-hmm. good way. Like, not in a anything has been said yeah. before, but just in
and
like a...
I don't
a,
know if that was intentional, but it definitely comes off that way.
It feel. I mean... I feel like Andrew Watt and Jungkook have created a really good synergy in the yeah. way they work together. And I think he probably has a good ear and a good mind for like who Jungkook and BTS are and
maybe
like what type of music he could offer up to them that would fit. You
it
know?
Definitely comes off that way.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. I think he's thoughtful about it. Like mm-hmm. he saw Jungkook recording Seven and he was like, I have another idea for you. This song right. I've been working on for you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I really love the lyrics where like you were talking about that this song is all about showing your pride and your confidence in love. Like, we'll survive the test of time. They can't deny our love. They can't divide us. Like, these are so mm-hmm. powerful about, like, we are so strong. We're meant to be. And I just love that vibe.
Deep like DNA.
Deep like DNA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is also a song because of the lyrics. Like, I know that the whole album is intended to be like a love, like a getting together and then a breakup. But this song, I feel, could be interpreted as like a connection, like, you know, friendship or ARMY BTS or, right. you know, like just because some of these lyrics harken back for us to other things, it's hard to not feel that way, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yes, we are deep like DNA, you know,
except for that second verse where he's talking about like afterglow and leave your body golden like the sun and the moon. Like,
yeah, that's not
there
the...
is some sexual innuendos in this song. But yes.
Jin's moon.
Oh, no.
No, sorry.
Stop it.
No, but yeah, that there's
a Jin
I think
put in there.
Along with all of that, there is totally many sexual innuendos yeah. in this song. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Phenomenal song. Absolutely phenomenal. And I will say, like, I just like the sound at the end of the chorus when he said, when he says, take it off, you know, the
Yeah.
I just like sonically, it sounds good to me.
So good. And it's such a great build to it. Yeah. Okay, let's get into Yes or No. This was written and produced by Blake Slatkin, Henry Walter, Ed Sheeran, Johnny McDade, Andrew Watt, and Circuit. So Ed Sheeran on this song and Andrew Watt again as well. I just have to say, I love this song. Like immediately, first time listening through, like first two lines of hearing the song, I was like, I love it. I'm sold. Mm-hmm. It's a great vibe. It's just like a perfect kind of, it gives... Like, okay, first of all, it does remind me of other songs I know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I like about it. But I think it's still a unique song in its mm-hmm. own right. But there's rhythm and cadence that gives like Confessions Part 2 by Usher. Mm-hmm. And then like the chorus gives me major like Jesse McCartney, 2006, Beautiful Soul. Right. Like that male pop R&B vibe of that era. It totally is giving me all of that. And I'm eating it up. I love it. You guys heard me on the 3D episode. Like I was a Justin Timberlake girl, like that type of vibe. I'm so here for. And I feel like this leans a little bit more like heartthrobby, but I'm sold. Like I'm falling in love.
It is very heartthrobby. Yeah. But it has that early 2000s poppy R&B kind of like you were saying with like 3D and stuff. But like
right.
absolutely hitting the nail on the head when you say Jesse McCartney. Like that really is what this song is giving. And I don't think you're alone. I have seen a lot of armies and there's been a lot of iconics who are posting about this song because they love Yes or No so, so much. And I think there is that kind of familiarity yeah. in it that comes off maybe a little nostalgic, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little comfort, like, ooh, yes. Like, even though it sounds maybe a bit familiar, that it's still its own song and it's Jungkook singing it now. So it's just, right. you know, it's how could you not love
Jungkook.
It?
Right.
And he executes it so perfectly.
Yeah.
I was not a big fan of this style of music, I guess, like that kind of R&B early 2000s, like never was a Justin Timberlake girly, never really listened to Jesse McCartney, or I think you had talked about, you feel like it should be in a Cinderella Story
yes, kind of song. Hilary Duff.
Yeah. Like, I don't even think I've seen that movie. Oh my goodness. I know it. I know.
What?
I know.
What the fuck? We're watching that movie ASAP. I can't believe you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Chad Michael Murray?
Yeah.
What?
I know. Oh, it's a crime.
This is a crime.
Yeah. But okay. I'm just saying, like, I just wasn't there, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't get that kind of nostalgic feel.
Right.
But I will say, like, my main criticism is that I just feel like I've heard the song before or a similar song. Like, it sounds familiar, but it's not ever been it's just not my personal taste in music, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Right. So I definitely think it's very catchy. And when it comes on, I'm definitely singing along to the chorus and the hook. And I think it's an excellent radio song. I definitely feel like it's an excellent radio song that so many people could love.
Yeah. I want to listen to this car in the radio, windows down, driving. Like, it's just such a good vibe.
Yeah.
I just love it.
I'll sing along to it for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't really ever skip it, but it's not one of my favorites.
No, it's
on
not
the album,
a skippable
and I think
song.
It's just personal taste.
I at least appreciate you saying that. It's not skippable. Like,
it's
just
not skippable.
Just don't skip it.
No, I'm
because
not skipping
it's
it.
So good. Yeah. Even if it's not one of your favorites, I can be okay as long as you're not skipping it.
But yeah. And I just, people really love it.
Yeah,
I really love it.
Like
my sister Brittany, she's like, Yes or No is like her favorite song on the album.
Yeah, I will eventually, Brittany and I together will eventually convince you to truly love this song because like, yes, it does lean more towards the style of music that I listened to growing up. And so, yeah, it does bring that nostalgia and that comfort while listening. But I think it's just genuinely a good song, like on its own without harkening back to things previously. Like it's just a good song. Like
it is.
The production is great. The lyrics are awesome. And Jungkook's vocal delivery is really wonderful. I really enjoy it the entire time. Like kind of what you said earlier, like now it's Jungkook, like hearing this style of music from Jungkook, like
dream come true.
Yeah. Like I just love him so much. And I mean, it totally takes me back to a time in my life just from the style when I was like crushing on boys for the first time and like just making great memories. And so of course I love that. And it makes me happy when I listen, but like,
and I think it's what makes the song stand out on the album. I think it's a standout song on the album.
Really? Because because I feel like
that sound.
Yeah, it has that sound. It's really hopeful and upbeat. And yeah, it just gives me like the feelings of like the spark of a relationship or, you know, just being in love and blissful. Good. Like what's better than being in love? This is like that falling in love.
You and your beautiful soul.
I love it. Right. You and your beautiful soul. Yeah. anyways, so just a little bit about these lyrics is like Jungkook here is laying his heart on the line, saying he's ready and wants to be with someone, asking if they want to be with them or with him. And he's really courting them, like he's trying to win them over. He's trying to stand out over everyone else. And personally, I just have to shout out the bridge in this song. Like if I haven't talked enough about how incredible his vocals are, like the bridge is like the perfect place to highlight it, because he has these incredible vocal runs on "You" and "Do", and it's just so addictive. And like he's saying there's magic in the room, tell me what are we gonna do, and like I feel like this is when we're falling in love, like just completely, like by the end of the song we're into it, both of us, and I'm just obsessed. I love it so much.
I love the questioning of are we falling in love, so yes or no. Great.
Consent King again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next song on the album is Please Don't Change, featuring DJ Snake. So for producers and songwriters, we have William Grinkingbanks and Ranks, I guess. Audio, Marchant, Yannick Rastago, Zachary Raymond, and then of course DJ Snake. So for the production and vibe of this song, again, we have that tropical sound. It sounds very similar to Closer to You, but this one has more of a house mix. It's a little bit more EDM. So DJ Snake is particularly known for EDM, trap, and dubstep music, so you definitely hear that influence in the production of this song. There is kind of like a whistle with the song, which makes it a little bit more unique too and stand out from Closer to You. But again, these vocals are, they have that more lighter, airy feel to them too. It sounds very nice, very pretty, especially in like the pre-chorus. So we love this song, and we feel like this song is a balance, I guess, to Closer to You. They have very kind of similar genres in terms of that kind of more tropical sound.
I will say, like you kind of brought this up earlier, they sound a bit too similar to be on the same album.
I would say so.
Sometimes you're kind of like, wait, is this one Please Don't Change? Is it Closer? Like, am I on the happy part or the sad part of the album? You know? Yeah, like the vibes are super, super similar. And like, especially listening through the album in order the first time, like it really stuck out about how close they were and how similar in genre they were. But that's the main critique about the production, but like the song itself sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds good.
The lyrics are really talking about living in the fast lane and how hard it can be to escape the camera or the limelight, and maybe trying to just like get away, maybe like live off the grid some and escape a little bit. I will say, like, I do have a critique for this song lyrically. Like, I'm really big on lyrics, and so I really feel like the chorus and the main hook of the song kind of let me down a little bit. I felt like it was a bit uncreative with the repetitiveness of, yeah, I love you, yeah, I love you, yeah, I love you. Like, it just felt like they could have said something else. They
maybe
could have
a little
had
bit
something,
more.
Right. And just saying, don't change because I love you just the way you are. Like, that's not saying, like, you're amazing just the way you are. That's like how you are right now, how I see you. Don't change from that to me. Like, it's not necessarily a positive thing to suggest to someone.
Right.
And it made me think about Namjoon's Change Part 2 from his Indigo album, where he's like, things change, people change, everyone change. And this is just like working in complete opposite of that, of like, don't change.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how I felt about the lyrics of this song personally. And I did feel like they were a little uncreative.
Yeah. But to kind of counter that, and I just cannot think of it right now, but there is a song on Indigo where Namjoon actually does talk about being with someone who kind of gets caught up in the limelight. And, you know, it's kind of off-putting, and they it kind of changes the person that, you know, they end up separating or they end up going their different ways because right. they're so caught up in the fast life. And I feel that this song might be kind of adding to that a little bit too, of like, don't become egocentric or caught up in those fancy parts of life. It's a little bit of a caution.
Yeah.
Please don't change.
Yeah.
Because of this.
That's probably a bit of a better interpretation mm-hmm. on it for sure.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Overall, like this song, like it's a good sounding song, but it's just, it's not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And I feel like it kind of blends in, or maybe it goes a little unnoticed yeah. when I listen through.
Yeah. It goes a little bit by the wayside yeah. and I could, when I'm listening to the whole album, like in order or on shuffle, it could kind of go unnoticed as I listen to the other songs that I like more or that stand out
yeah,
more.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
next we have Hate You. So for producers and songwriters, we have Henry Walter, Peter Rycroft, Scott Harris, and Shawn Mendes and Circuit. So this song has Shawn Mendes on it. So production and vibe, you know, this song is very much a sad, soft ballad. We hear these very repetitive piano chords throughout, and you know, you really feel the pain that Jungkook is feeling in the delivery of this song. There's parts too where there's this vocal overlay during the chorus, and it kind of gives this choral effect. It sounds like there's a choir singing almost.
Yeah, but it's just a choir of Jungkook.
It's just Jungkook. It's a choir of Jungkook, right. Exactly. And because of that, it has this hauntingness to it. It's very hauntingly beautiful, hauntingly sad. Kind of feels like, you know, he's being haunted by this relationship and the love that you still have for this person, but knowing that this relationship isn't good anymore.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I like that haunting quality that you're speaking about. I feel like is coming through in his vocals the whole time.
Right.
Like he really brings this emotion through on this song that he hadn't been able to display yet in the album, even though this half of the album started to lean a little bit more sad.
I think in the last song it started going that route.
Right.
This is
like where you really feel
this
it.
This is where it hits.
This is where it hits
This is the breakup.
And he took that opportunity to sound so sad, heartbroken. Like at the end of the song, you can almost hear like a little quiver in his voice on those last few lines. And like hearing this is what really made me realize how much Jungkook internalized the songs on this album as he put it together mm-hmm. and how much that delivery of real authentic emotion and understanding what that song meant to him as an artist really mattered to him.
Right.
Bethany, you brought up earlier that like one of Namjoon's earlier criticisms about Jungkook during the Euphoria days was that he didn't bring enough passion and emotion. Technically, vocally, he sounded incredible, but he needed to bring through some more emotion into that. And I feel like hearing this song and thinking about this entire album, Jungkook has really, really grown in that area of bringing the emotion through. And it's just a testament to how hard of a worker he is and like
how naturally skilled he is too. Like,
right.
You know, I don't know if he really had a vocal director directing him on how to sing these songs. I think he taught himself and had a vision of
totally.
How he wanted to sound.
I mean, he would leave the studio and go home and do the work on his own of
yeah.
just deciding, how do I want to sing this? What do I want to bring into it? And definitely when you're working with the producer in the studio, they're going to say, hey, I think you should try it maybe a little bit more this way or that way. But what we remember from all of like the seven behinds with Andrew Watt is that Jungkook would hear direction one time and would apply it.
Yeah.
Like to
and we
perfection.
Got to see that with Seven and just, it was fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. He nailed it every time.
Totally.
And I'm pretty sure on Stage Fruta, he talked about like when he went in to go record, like he did it within in a matter of like an hour or so.
Right.
Whereas like for reference, like you had said, Taeyong, it took him like 3 days.
Yeah, Taeyong on the most recent Sukruta episode, after Jungkook said, yeah, 5 songs in 1 week, 3 hour studio sessions, Taeyong said, I spent 3 days on one song.
Right.
Like, yeah. So it just shows like, I mean, Yoongi said, well, everyone works at a different pace. That doesn't really dictate like your talent or whatever, or your ability, but it just shows Jungkook's like determination and the level, the type of performer he is, the phenomenal musician and vocalist he is,
and
to be able
singer,
to
like he's a phenomenal yeah, singer.
His vocal talent is incredible, like
yeah.
what he's able to do and apply.
I guess a good way to kind of look at it, just thinking about it, is like you can have a really, really great like flutist or violinist, you know, someone who plays the violin, and they could be so skilled and like go to Juilliard and stuff, but like they're not the ones writing the music that they play.
Right.
his voice is his main instrument, right. You know, and he's so skillful in it.
Right. And those musicians, like a flutist that really is the top of their class, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. They bring through all of that passion and that emotion and convey the real meaning of these songs through their performances. And I feel like that's a great way to relate to what Jungkook is doing here in this album.
Yeah.
He really, I mean, he brings through a high degree of emotion and passion in this song. We see it in all these other songs, mm-hmm. and like even thinking back to like Standing Next to You, like super charismatic in his performances. So yeah.
Yeah.
I think like this is really like at least the first listen through on this album and listening to this song, I'm like, oh, okay. Like
with Jungkook,
yeah, he's really bringing it and he's giving us every emotion that he can and executing.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah. So lyrics for Hate You, you know, it's a really sad breakup song and it's about a relationship that simply didn't work out. You know, in the lyrics, it talks about, this person didn't do anything unforgivable. Like they didn't cheat or tell lies or be deceitful, but the relationship just simply wasn't meant to be. And the song talks about how it would maybe be easier to move on if something bad had happened, like an event had happened, and, you know, it would give you a reason to kind of hate the person or have, you know, a disdain for this person.
Right.
And it would make the breakup a little bit easier, you know, but there truthly is no hate. There is no distaste for this person.
No animosity. And he can't even like muster it up. He's singing a whole song to try to.
Yeah.
And even like in the second verse at the end, he said, I'm still in love for what it's worth. Just knowing honestly, like you really cannot even hate this person.
Yeah.
You still have so much love. And I mean, that's the pain of a breakup. Truthfully, I feel like this song really in the lyrics and in the production brought through that pain that, you know, we've all felt before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the next song on the album is Somebody.
Let's get into it. This was written and produced by John Bellion, Alan Ritter, Johan Rosa. And as far as the production and vibe, I only have one critique for this song and the rest is absolute praise. And it's just the very beginning, the mixing done on his voice. Jungkook starts in like a low register, but there's like this effect added to his voice. And like, it doesn't sound like him. Not like the first time when I was listening, I had to restart the song because I was like, was that Jungkook? Is there a feature on this song? Because it did not sound like him. Now, two lines into the song, it's Jungkook.
Like, it's so brief.
You know, it's so brief.
It's so brief.
It's so brief. I just wish that they hadn't done that mixing like that. I think that's a production issue. Like the rest of the song is incredible and Jungkook's vocals are perfection the rest of the time. That's my one criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with it.
You love the entire song.
I love the
entire
song.
Bethany's been raving about this whole song like all day.
I didn't realize how much I really liked the song until like, I mean, first time listening through, I really liked it, but it's one of those songs that the more I've listened to it, the more I love it even more. I had that similar kind of initial thought of like, was that Jungkook? You know, I had to go back and like re-listen because it sounded so different. But we had talked about with Jimin and Set Me Free Part 2, there's also parts in that song where you're like, is that Jimin? You know, is that, it didn't sound like him. And it's because of that kind of production value, that mixing on the voice.
I don't know. Well, with Jimin Set Me Free, it also continued in the second verse. And we had said it was like a stylistic autotune choice that was like a whole style of the song. Whereas with this song, after those like first two lines, that's gone.
Because the song starts off like very hollowed out. And the song, it creates the build of the song. It starts in this very low hollowed out place. And as the song builds, Jungkook's vocals become more clear and his register isn't low anymore and becomes more into that register, that higher register that we know for him to sing in. So I think it's just an effect.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like it has an impact for me. For me, it works well. I love the effect of, you know, this kind of lower register and having his voice come out of this very muffled, hollowed out sound into bringing it up back in bringing it up an octave, and then he's in his normal register that we're very familiar with, and mm-hmm. his voice just sounds very clear and pristine. It sounds even more pristine because we've heard it be so distorted at the beginning.
Yeah.
I just love the effect. Anyways, in terms of just like more of the production and vibe, he has like in the song, there's this percussion beat that really drives the melody, and it reminds me of like a steel drum or a xylophone. And if you guys know me, I love Strange, the song Strange, which also has that kind of similar percussion that gave me a little bit of steel drums vibe too, or kind of like a xylophone. So I just love that rhythm that goes through, and it's following the melody. And then there's also the super, super nasty bass line that I just, I think is fire. It sounds so freaking good in the song. And then there's also these really pretty like string synths that especially come in like the second half of the song as it starts to build. These string synths are playing, and then you hear them a lot towards the end. And especially at the end, it gives me almost like P-Dawg when he uses synths, like very similar, kind of reminiscent of P-Dawg style. But overall, it has a really great house beat, very like house music. For his voice, there's a lot of passion. He has gorgeous vocal runs too. But I think what I love about this song is that there's a little bit of angst to it. There's a little bit of like that disdain that was lacking and like Hate You and stuff. This is like the part of the breakup of like, oh, I hope you find somebody else, you know, like mm-hmm. a little bit of we're going our separate ways. I'm moving on, you know, and it also has this very like dark pop kind of feel, like dark poppy, and you know, it's not quite like Fake Love, but similar kind of that angst feel. Yeah. And I guess I like angsty songs. Mm-hmm. I had talked about with Taeyong's album, I'm like, man, he's just too forgiving. Like, where's the angst? Where's the rage, you know? And we get a little bit of that here in Somebody. So yeah. Sonically, I feel like this song is perfect. That's how I feel.
I still really feel the same way about the first couple lines of the song. That's but the fine. Rest of it, I love, uh-huh. especially as we get into the second verse. I think the production really takes off into being super interesting. That's where you really notice, wow, that awesome beat is continuing, the awesome bass line. I love when the stringy synths come in, and there's even like these little like chimes that are kind of floating in the top that give me a little bit of like an indie vibe. And I mean, I really enjoy the production, especially mm-hmm. as we get into the song. Mm-hmm. And then what really sold me on this song was the lyrics. Like once I started to, as like over the weekend, listening to this album so much more and just like hearing the lyrics driving around the car, like they would, along with the production, hit so hard. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like mm-hmm. I think that there's a great like lyrical play of visualization of driving in verse one, of just kind of like how you're driving around and your thoughts are racing. I think that that's, you know, not only relatable, but just like a great way that they got into the song.
Yeah, like you're on these back roads, yeah. driving, you know, yeah. like emotions are maybe a little high.
And the confusion little, and yeah. everything that you're feeling at that time, mm-hmm. totally. And then I think even though verse two here on this song is really short, I'll be bold enough to say I think verse two is one of the best on the album just because of its impact. Like I do really feel like the production has built to such a point that then the emotion that comes through in the lyrics is just incredible. Like I love when he says so much, there's so much damage that going through the motion makes, like such a real fucking line. I think it's like mm-hmm. a cautionary tale to putting yourself through too much and not taking care of yourself and mm-hmm. not taking care of your emotions and how you're feeling like here maybe in this breakup or, you know, just in life. Like I think it can be related to other things.
I do too.
And so like I just really like, I think that this song with the lyrics, it can help you get through something, mm-hmm. you know, like if you're having an issue with someone that you like really don't like at work or something, like yeah. I hope you find somebody that's not me, like get out of my face. I'm, you know, I don't need to interact with you or something, yeah. you know, and it can just really, I don't know. I find it really validating.
Yeah, it is very validating.
Yeah.
And I will say even like in the chorus with like the la la la's, which we love us some la la la's, like that's very BTS to me.
Yeah.
But oh, oh. Like, right. I just, it sounds so good. So even though it has this kind of like angsty, like I hope you find somebody, mm-hmm. you know, it's still very pretty.
Even those O's are a little bit like, what am I going to do type of thing? Like, right. In the situation as my mind is racing, yeah. Like, along with the prettiness of the production, I feel like even they like have lyrical contribution.
Right.
So yeah, like I really like it. Yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah. I think it works really well too, coming off of Hate You.
Yeah.
I feel like Somebody is that part of the breakup where you're a little bit more accepting that things weren't meant to be and you're wishing this other person well.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
But there's still a little bit of disdain, a little bit of angst. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, I hope you find someone
else. His wish of hating you kind of started to come true a little bit. Right. You know, he started to access that. Yeah. And I do see there like a little bit of that progression with the album still. So yeah, mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah. So next on the album is Too Sad to Dance. For producers and songwriters, we only have David Stewart. And I'm so sorry, David Stewart, but Too Sad to Dance, I will say, is probably my least favorite song.
It makes me too sad to listen to the whole song. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It gives us a little bit of Permission to Dance vibes. Like, I feel like it could be a Permission to Dance part two.
They should have named it that.
Yeah.
PTD part two.
Only PTD was more happy.
Yeah.
Too Sad to Dance has a happy beat, but sad lyrics and sad message.
Right.
So it's kind of a little confusing in that. But in the production, we have this strumming, casual guitar that is very repetitive. It is constant. It is mm-hmm. constant in this song, mm-hmm. that guitar. The production is very one note, just this guitar with some whistling over it. And the song kind of ends somewhat abruptly, like there's no real outro. It just kind of fades out,
right.
Just ends.
It doesn't even fade out. It just
stops. Yeah, like it's just that melody that the guitar is playing over and over, and it just kind of starts and ends.
Right.
Yeah, without any change up.
It feels like a little unrefined, like someone who they've been playing the guitar for a year or so, and they're just sitting strumming out a song casually. Like, it doesn't feel like too much effort was put into this production to like kind of what I said earlier with Standing Next to You totally lives up to the potential and the ability that Jungkook as an artist and musician has. Mm-hmm. Like, this song doesn't live up to what Jungkook can deliver.
Right.
Like, it almost doesn't feel good enough for him. And it's, I mean, I don't know if that's too harsh to say, but
no, I don't think so.
I feel like it doesn't do him justice of like a type of song he could have delivered.
Yeah. The emotions in this song are kind of conflicting too, because you're just like, are we happy? Are we sad? Are we carefree? Disillusioned? Like, the lyrics just don't match the upbeat production vibe. And Kayla, you're like, what mood do I need to be in to listen to this song?
Like, for so many of for so many of these other songs, we have been like, oh, I'm on a beach dancing, or I'm driving with the windows down. Like, mm-hmm. I know what emotion I want to feel, and that's why I want to put this song on. Mm-hmm. And I just can't imagine a time where I'll be like, I need to listen to Too Sad to Dance.
Yeah.
Like, when am I putting this song on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I tell you what my nephew said?
What?
Brittany was in the car with Ben, my nephew. And Brittany's like, he's too sad to dance. And Ben's like, yeah, I've gathered that. Like, he was just like, I've gathered that he is too sad to dance.
They only said it 400 times. Yeah. If there's any misses on this album, this song is the miss for me, I think for both of us. Yeah. Like, we could praise so many other songs on this album and think that the rest of it's incredible. And this song was just a bit disappointing and maybe like
a
skippable one.
Yeah, I think it's a skippable one.
Yeah. So just a little bit about the lyrics. It is a narrative style, which is a bit different for this album. Like, he doesn't really narrate throughout the songs of like events that are happening, but that's how this one is. And it's the specific events as someone is trying to get over a breakup, basically keeping themselves occupied with partying. So they feel really lonely and they're coping with alcohol and they're like waiting by the phone to hear from this person. And by the end of the song, they're reassured by like their friends and like their parents that they can make it on their own, with the lyrics, you can walk the walk and talk the talk on your own. Yeah. Even more
Very
permission
PTD,
to dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. If you're wanting to listen to like a going out, get drunk, try to forget about the pain I'm feeling, like, that's like crazy. Like, that's where I go to. That's
literally
more the vibe.
This song is like, I mean, Like Crazy, like, this song makes me want to listen to Like Crazy.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, I had to go listen to it after because that's the song that you need to get into
that's
that
kind
vibe.
Of more, yeah, that's kind of more the vibe. But yeah,
mm-hmm. For sure. So sorry, Jungkook, for that one.
And maybe it was the guitar, but we initially kind of thought, oh, is this the song that Ed Sheeran worked on.
Yeah, it felt like Ed Sheeran. So heavy. Yeah. It totally did. And then we looked at like who produced on the other songs. Yeah. And we're like, oh, I guess it's not that one.
Yeah, he worked on Yes or No.
We should have known Ed Sheeran would have done better than that. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so next on the album is A Shot Glass of Tears. For producers and songwriters, this is David Stewart, Jessica Gombar, and then Michael Pollack and Hine. So production and vibe and style of this song, there's again a soft piano and the instrumental is very stripped down and it really lets Jungkook's voice shine in the best way. And then the song really builds as it goes. Like it does start off strong as a ballad, but there's a lot of build that happens into the chorus. The bass and background vocals kind of come in and it just hits really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. I feel like Hate You was a really soft ballad. And I feel like this Shot Glass of Tears is like more of a true ballad with more of those powerful vocals coming through. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's everything I was hoping for. Ever since we got the track list and I saw that song title, I'm like, that's a fucking ballad.
Yeah.
If that's not a ballad, then I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And man, like it totally is. It's everything
I wanted. It lived up to that, for sure.
Completely. Mm-hmm. There's like the high note that in the lyrics that he has for Tears and Cheers is pretty damn infectious and it seems really hopeful. Yeah. Like you're maybe putting your glass up at that time and you know you're looking ahead, and the breathier vocals are just really, really great too. Like it has the contrast between the breathier vocals and the powerhouse between the verses and the chorus.
Yeah.
And that contributes to the build of the song also. Mm-hmm. So fantastic. And then the ad lib Oz also give a very like unified unison moment. You can envision like people in a bar together raising a glass together and like cheersing to the hardships of life and that they're getting through it and that they're, you know, they're turning it into something.
Absolutely. That's totally what it is. Yeah. It feels Shot Glass of Tears like it. The sentiment of it really is like, I'm still sad, but I have to find a way to carry on. And this song is very much of a carry on.
Totally a carry on sound. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that you can.
That you can. Yeah. 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 It reminds me a little bit of We Are Young by Fun.
Yeah.
Good night. And it has that really unified bar feel. I don't know how to explain it. Like you're just like singing in unison at a bar with, you know, everyone. And you all are just like, life goes on, like we gotta carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Life goes on. But
I know. Yeah, oh my God. I listened to Life Goes On the way home from Branson.
Oh,
and I just got all in my feels. Such a good song.
That whole album, B, is just incredible.
God.
I really, really love the production of this song. Mm-hmm. This is one of my top songs on the album for sure.
Me too.
Just off of sound. I mean, on top of that, the lyrics I think are incredible. Yeah.
I think it is one of the best songs on the album. For sure. It's up there. Lyrics, it's very much being stuck and numb from a breakup. He's still kind of going through this, the hardship of getting over a breakup. He talks about happiness feeling so far away, but the song still seems very hopeful. It's getting over it, and as a listener, you're kind of getting through it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he continually asks when I'm going to feel better or when I'm going to heal again. And there's a little bit of hope that's instilled in that. He's clearly not there yet, but there's a sentiment of it will eventually get better.
Yeah, it totally
will. You'll feel happy again someday.
Yeah, and I think that really comes through with the line where he says, I got these diamonds are running down my face and I'm not going to let them go to waste. I feel like those lyrics are so empowering to like let yourself feel that raw emotion and vulnerability of crying and knowing that like you can come out of it stronger and then those tears are worth something.
Yeah.
They're valuable.
They are valuable because it's the hardships in life that really, the enduring that we have to go through, there's development, there's personal growth.
What are you going to learn from this? What are you going to take from this? How are you going to move on in the future and change and become better?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what like this song is such an opportunity for.
There's so much value in that.
So much value in that.
Those diamond tears.
Those diamond tears. And I love like just the reassurance that like the crying is okay and that the crying is necessary and that like you can be cheersing to the hardships while also looking forward to the future through that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just such a wonderful message.
It is a wonderful message. I think that's what makes this song so great too, but you know, also just that true ballad. In the sense of unity.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And then the album ends with the clean version of Seven. So a little whiplash, honestly. Like, if you're listening through the album, you're like, shot glass full of tears. You're like, yes, like life, you know, you're feeling that like life is going to continue on. It'll get better.
Right.
And then it's, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, complete fucking bop.
At least it's the clean version, so we're like, we're feeling the love.
At least there's love involved.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's love involved on this half of the, yeah. Totally. Well, overall, let's wrap up with our overall thoughts on this album. I mean, I really grew on me. Like, I feel like it had to grow on me a bit, but really I just needed more time to internalize the songs, listen through them, listen to the lyrics, think about the production. And now I absolutely love this album. Yeah. There's so many songs that I want to go back and listen to all the time, songs that are always going through my head. And I'm really, really proud of Jungkook for, like, what he's done here. I'm so excited to see like his performance in Seoul and how he puts together that set list. I'm so excited to see the Jimmy Fallon performance whenever that comes out.
We've seen that iHeart Radio mm-hmm. performance. Oh my goodness.
Incredible. You know,
that was really like jaw-dropping and also like a true moment of like, oh, Jungkook really could be like a solo performer. Like he's so charismatic, so talented. Like Yoongi had said, like, oh, we finally have our Asian pop star
right here. This is the Asian pop star that's going to dominate the West. And he was like, about time, basically.
About time.
I mean, like, I feel like with this album, Jungkook has really set him up to do that. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to make this happen. And I think he's going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. There's so many songs here that I feel like could become top radio hits, and like, as they should be, like, they're just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
like excellent work from Jungkook.
Lots of truly excellent songs on this album that I could so see being on the radio and being loved by not only ARMY but the general public too. Yeah,
that's another point, is that I don't think that this is an album just for ARMY. Mm-hmm. This is an album for anyone, which I mean, that is what like the core of pop music is supposed to be, an album for anyone that, you know, just any listener could appreciate. And I love that as ARMY, even though it's not like he wrote these lyrics, we're able to appreciate this album to such a depth. And I feel that, you know, the casual listener on the radio will hear these songs and also really love them.
Yeah.
And I love that we can have that overlap.
Yeah, me too.
It's golden. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It really is. I would say top songs in the album for me, Standing Next to You.
Oh, yes.
Shot Glass Full of Tears.
Yes.
Seven is still up there.
Yes.
Yes or No I Know is up there for me. Mm-hmm. And Somebody's up there too.
Yeah.
And then like I still like 3D a lot. I just don't prefer Jack Harlow's verse at all. But the rest of the song, incredible.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
All of my favorite songs start with S. I thought it was so weird. I was like, my favorite songs are all the ones that start with S. So yeah, Shot Glass of Tears, Standing Next to You, Somebody, in Seven.
Yeah. So good. Mm. So good. Mm. What a great album. Definitely one that we'll be listening to in longevity. And now I feel like I need a mega playlist of all of BTS's solo work, now that I have solo work from every single member. And I just want to put all of their music on shuffle.
Me too.
Yeah. Cannot wait. Yeah. So we hope that you guys appreciated this episode and enjoyed what we had to say about Jungkook's golden album. We would love to hear your thoughts too. So make sure you get in our Instagram comments whenever we post about the episode so we can see what you thought about the album, and come to the next Iconic Hangout next month so we can all talk about it together as well.
Yes, and stay tuned for our next episode where we're going to talk about these performances, because Standing Next to You, I'm dying to talk about.
Yes, we cannot wait.
Choreo,
the music video.
The stage presence, the music videos, performance from Jimmy Fallon,
everything.
I heard radio performance. I mean, yes,
we're talking about it all. We cannot wait. So be looking forward to that probably next week, but because we just can't control ourselves and we have to talk about Jungkook. Right. But we do want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIP Iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so much for all of your love and support.
Yes, thank
you. We appreciate you so much. And if you enjoyed this episode, let us know through writing reviews and again on Instagram, and you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.